Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel. We begin at the very top, the very, very first word, Lamed Gimel Omed Aleph. Gemara quotes the Mishnah where we said that even though it's a mitzvah daraisa on Rosh Hashanah to blow the shofar, if you don't have a shofar and you only could do so to have a shofar by being over either an Issa Darabanan or an Issa Daraisa, we said you don't do so. So the Mishnah said, Ve'in Chotchen also, you wouldn't be allowed to go and cut up a shofar, to scrape out a shofar, to make it a kosher shofar. Whether you did this, Bein Bedover Shum Mishum Shvus, whether this was an Issa Darabanan, or Bein Bedover Shum Mishum Lo Sasa, whether it was an actual Issa Daraisa, in either event, you wouldn't be allowed to do so. We explained yesterday that while an Asse is Docha, a los asay, an asay is not doche an asay, and a los asay in Rosh Hashanah is both an asay and a los asay. The Gemara says, what are examples of a shvus? What are examples of a los asay, an actual deraisa? So mishum shvus, an example of what you wouldn't be allowed to do with a shvus would be a magola, to go take a sickle, a mago, Rashi explains, is a foreign language word known as sarfa, the tikkun klacher yadu. This is not the normal way that you would go and shape, cut a shofar, and therefore it would only be an Issa Darabanan because it's done in a not normal way, with the shinoi, kalach hayad, and that would only be an Issa Darabanan. Vein bo ela mishum shvus, Rashi says. What would be an example of a daraisa, a lo sase, a full daraisa? That would be with a sakina. That would be using a knife, because Rashi explains the darko bakach, that's the normal way to do this, and this would be a malacha gemura, and therefore that would be an Issa Daraisa. Then the Gemara says, the obvious question, Hashtom Yishum Shvus Amitzlo, Lo Sase Miboya, if you're telling me that you can't even be transgressing a Issa Derabanan in order to make you have the shofar, and you're actually going to have not the ability to do the mitzvah shofar, even though you're not allowed to transgress a Derabanan, so certainly you wouldn't be allowed to transgress a Daraisa. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me that? It should have just said, you're not allowed to go and be over a Shvus, even though it's going to mean you can't do the mitzvah Daraisa of shofar, so certainly you can't be transgressing a Daraisa. Why did it have to tell me that? So one says, yeah, this is a style that Mishnayos sometimes use. Zu, vein sarich, lo mar zu, tani. Yes, it stated the Rabbanan, and it didn't have to tell me the Daraisa, but it stated it anyway. That's a style that we often have in Mishnayos. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, avolim rotzo litein lesocho mayim o yayin yitein. If a person wished to put inside of the shofar to make it a better sound, either water or yayin, that's not considered a problem of masakin mana, that you're finishing it off, because it technically was perfectly good without that, and this is just like sweetening the sound that it's going to make, and therefore that is permitted. Gemara says, the Mishnah implied, mayim o yayin in, that you'd be allowed to put in water or wine. However, meira galayim lo, but you wouldn't be allowed to put in urine, even though urine apparently would make the sound even better. Urine would be a very, very effective agent to make the sound of the shofar very good. Now, this is a little bit problematic, because urine is something that obviously the Gemara is going to tell us is disgusting, and that's why you can't use it, because of kavod, as we'll see in a second. So the Vilna Gaon has a famous statement on this, and he says it's not talking about actual urine, but it's talking about a spring of water known as the Meir HaGlayim. And even though this is water, but since it has a name attached to it that is a very foul-sounding name, such as the Meir HaGlayim River, and therefore even that you're not allowed to use, but of course it never was a habamin to say that it was real Meir HaGlayim. In any event, let's read the Gemara now. So the Gemara says that yes, you can put in water or wine, but you can't put in Meir HaGlayim. So Masnis and Madi, who's the author of our Mishnah? So Abishol, this goes in accord with the opinion of Abishol. What did Abishol say? The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Abishol Omer, Mayim Oyayin Mutter, Kidei Letzatzcho. You're allowed to put in water or wine in order to make the sound a little bit nicer, to go and clean it out. Somehow the sound is blocked or is in some way impaired by the fact that it has some schmutz inside of it, and putting in water or wine will clean it out a little bit, and therefore that is allowed because it's still perfectly good without that, and it's not considered masakin mana. However, Meir HaGlayim is also, you can't put in urine, even though that would effectively do the same thing, but mipnei hakavod, because it's pasnish, it's inappropriate to go put in actual urine, or like the Vilna Gaon wants to say, that this shame that doesn't have a nice shame to it because of the kavod, oh, they put Meir HaGlayim into the shofar, whether it's real Meir HaGlayim or something that has a kinui of Meir HaGlayim, has a nickname of Meir HaGlayim, that's still inappropriate because of kavod for the mitzvah. We quote the Mishnah further. It says, "Ein ma'ak v'nisatinokos miliskoa." The Mishnah had said that you don't have to go prevent the children from blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, "Hanoshim ma'akvin." It says children, you don't have to be ma'akev. Implication being that women who are not mechuyavos in the mitzvah of shofar because it's mitzvah seishes ma'agrama, you are mechuyav to stop them from blowing shofar. The Gemara says, "Well, Tanya, we learn in the Braisa
that it says specifically that you're not makhriv to stop the women. Ein ma'akvin lo es hanoshim v'lo es ha-tinokos milisko b'yom tov. So the tinokos, in both the Brisa and the Mishnah, you're not makhriv to stop them from blowing shofar. But here the Brisa says that you are also not makhriv to stop the women from blowing shofar. If they wish to blow shofar on Yom Tov or Rosh Hashanah, they're allowed to. So the Brisa seems to be a stira with our Mishnah. So Amar Abaye says, lo kash, no, not a stira. It depends whose opinion you're talking about. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that women are not allowed to go and blow shofar. Ha, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, the Brisa, however, is going in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, that women are allowed to blow shofar, even though they're not obligated to do so, but they are mutter to do so. And this is seen in the following Brisa, the Tanya. The pasuk says, "Daber b'nei Yisrael." The Omar to Aliyem, Odom ki Yaakov became korban Hashem min habeimo bin habakor min hatzonim takrivu es korban chem. So the pasuk tells us that b'nei Yisrael, Odom is allowed to go and be makriv a korban. That means that you have to do smicha on the korban. So the pasuk specifically says that only men are allowed to do smicha. Smicha is leaning with your full weight on the korban. The problem with leaning with your full weight on the korban, if you're not obligated to do so, is it's me'ilah. You're benefiting from the korban. So if the Torah tells you you have to do so, then you're allowed to do so. But if the Torah doesn't tell you you're allowed to do so, then that would be a problem of me'ilah, getting benefit from the korban by leaning on it with full force. So the Brisa says, b'nei Yisrael somchin, the ein b'nos Yisrael somchin, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that women are not allowed to do this because they would be, in fact, benefiting from the carbon. And this would be in accord with our Mishnah. Women aren't obligated to blow the shofar, therefore they're not allowed to go and blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah because, while it's a chochma, we said it's not a real shvus, but you can't do something if you have no reason to do so. And women aren't obligated, and therefore, if you're not obligated, it's forbidden. And that's why, ein ma'akev satinokos, but you are ma'akev the women. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. He's the author of our Mishnah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, they disagree. Omrim, they say, Noshim somchos rishus. If women wish to, they're allowed to take upon themselves doing various mitzvos, even though they're not obligated to do so. And while women are not obligated to do the mitzvah of blowing shofar, if they wish to do so, they have the right to do so. Likewise, if the women in the Brisa wish to go and be somich on the animals, they're allowed to do so. And therefore, the Brisa is authored over here by Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Rashi in the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Tzadivav tells us the reason why Rabbi Yehuda forbids the women to do so. It's the pasuk says that they're not obligated to do so. So where do you see that the women are forbidden to do so? So Rashi says because it's a problem of Baal Tosef. B'nei Yisrael somchim v'lo b'nei Yisrael somchos. However, according to Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, since it's a rishus, they have the permissibility to do so, they're not obligated to do so, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, they hold that it's ein kan bal tosef. Implication being, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is a problem of bal tosef. The Marsha says it a little bit differently. The Marsha says that if you hold that someone is not obligated to do an act on Yontif, for example, smicha on Yontif, so that if you're not mechuyev, he says it's an issur derabbanon. It's not an issur d'oraisa about Tosef. He says it's an issur derabbanon. And therefore, if you're not mechuyev to blow the shofar, so then it's an issur derabbanon to go and blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Rashi also adds in the Gemara in Chulin that it is not considered a problem of me'ila for the women, according to Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, because he says, afogad lo mechayva, even though the Torah doesn't obligate the women to go and do smicha, nevertheless, he says, lo amrinon avoda ovedes bekotchim. It's not considered that they're doing an avoda. And so too over here, lo chanami, lo amrinon mechalelis yomtofi. We don't consider this a chilul yomtof if she were to blow the shofar. So this is the fundamental understanding between Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah, and the Brisa, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. It's a famous Tosos over here. The top Tosos, a very long Tosos. And Tosos, well, just through the beginning of it, he says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Afogad the Stam Masnisik Rabbi Yehuda, even though we normally paskin a Stam Mishnah as being like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we should have said over here that the halach is that women would not be allowed to take upon themselves to do a mitzvah that they're not obligated to do so if there is involved in any way potentially an Isser. Nevertheless, halach Rabbi Yossi. Here we pass like Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, because we always have a rule that Rav Yossi, normally we pass like Rav Yossi, even against the Rabbim sometimes, because the Nimuko Imo, he is very, very well thought out in his rationale, and therefore, this is a situation when we paskin that women are in fact allowed to go and do a mitzvah that they're not obligated in, a mitzvah sasei shesman grama, they're not obligated in, they are allowed to do this, even though they're not obligated in it, and it would involve potential isurim, for example, like blowing the shofar or doing smicha on the korban. Furthermore, he adds, a ma'isa shahaya, he says, he brings out the Gemara in Erevin, also in Daf Tzadi Vav, that Michal was the famous daughter of Shaul, Bashaul, who was the wife of David HaMelech, ha'isama neches tefillin. She would, in fact, put on tefillin. And it says further over there, the wife of Yonah, the great Navi Yonah, the Ishto Shal Yonah, Shaisa Ola L'Regel, she would go up to be doing Aliyas Regel, even when it was dangerous to do so. And he further brings down from the Gemara in Chagiga that they would allow women to go into the Ezras Noshim to do right near the Azara, the Samchu Olav Noshim, to allow the women to do Smicha, Kedei Lasus Nachas Ruach L'Noshim, to make the women happy, to make sure that the women were not upset that they weren't being able to participate. And furthermore, Umutaros, we do allow the women, Levarech HaMitzvah Saseshes Ban Groma, Afo Gav De Peturos Min Devar HaMitzvah Hahi. So women can even make a bracha, Shekishon Mitzvah Tzivanu, on these items, even though they're not obligated to do so. As he brings down that Michal Bashal was even able to go and make a bracha when she put on the tefillin. As the Gemara in Bava Kama tells us, Amr of Yosef, Meikara, Amri Mandi, Amr Halachik Rabbi Huda, Adina, Yom Tovel, Rabban. Originally, Rabbi Yosef, who was blind, said anybody who says that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that a blind person is not obligated in the mitzvahs. And Rabbi Yosef, who was blind, said, I do all the mitzvahs, so I'm getting greater schar. So he said, anybody who tells me that the halacha is like this, Rabbi Yehuda, I will make a sudas mitzvah in the Ron because they're making the situation better for me. So Avdina Yom Tov the Rabban. The Lo Mifkedina Vavidna. Anybody who's not obligated and yet does it, that's on a higher level because they're not Mitzuva and they're Osa. And Eino Mitzuva Vose, he said originally, is higher. As Tosu says, Vim Bemokum de Potter Min Adov Vavoseyu, Osim Levarech, Imkain Amay Avdina Yom Tov. So we ask, if this is correct, that we possibly like Rabbi Yehuda over here, so then why would he go and say that that's a good thing? Anybody says that you're not obligated, Eino Mitzuvah Osa is greater. No, if you're not allowed to make the bracha, so then that says that you're not as good. And therefore, he would lose all the brachos. He wouldn't be allowed to make the brachos, even though we would do the mitzvah, so it's great, I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm not obligated, but he would lose the bracha. So Tosfos goes through a long arichas over here to explain that no, this isn't the situation. In fact, that assume a blind person would be mechuyev on a derabbanan level. That's one teretz that Tosfos give. The other teretz that Tosfos give as well. Bottom line is, we don't paskin like that opinion. We paskin that a mitzuva va'osa is in fact greater. And ultimately, Rav Yosef made a yom tova for anybody who said that the halacha is that a mitzuva va'osa is greater, and that a suma is included in that. So therefore, he made a Yom Tova for the Rabbanan in that situation. Any event, very interesting Tosos, lots of interesting details there. I ain't showing the rest of this Tosos. Now go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Abomis askim behen achi ilmadu. The Mishnah had said that you are allowed, in fact, you're not mechoyev to be ma'akev, the children, and in fact, you're allowed to even go and help them. Mis askim behem, achi ilmadu. So Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Elazar, afil b'Shabbos. This is true not only on Rosh Hashanah itself, but even when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. And the Brisa supports what the Amora Rabbi Elazar says, Taninam Yochi, mis askim behem, achi ilmadu, afil b'Shabbos. You are allowed to go and help the children to teach them how to blow shofar, and this is allowed even on Shabbos. The Brisa continues and says, "Ve'ema akvinatin okos miliskol b'Shabbos." You're not obligated to stop the children from going and blowing the shofar on Shabbos. And certainly, vein tzorach lomar b'yontif. And certainly, if you can do it on Shabbos, you can do it on the yontif of Rosh Hashanah. Now, this is a tarta desasri. This is internally inconsistent. First, you tell me misaskin, and then you tell me ema akvin. So that's what the Gemara asks. Hagufa kasha. It's mutually contradictory. The Reisha, you said, Amris misaskin b'hem ach yilmudu v'afil b'Shabbos, meaning that lichat chila, you're allowed to go and do this. Alma lichat chila, aminon tiku. However, then in the Sefer, you say, v'ad etana, ema akvin, that you're not mechuyev to stop them, which implies that yikuva hudu lo ma'akvin, ho lichat chila, lo aminon tiku. That means only b'di'evit. If they're playing with it, you're not mechuyev to stop them. But if they were to say, Daddy, can I go and play with the shofar? You would say, no. So the Reisha and the Sefer are internally contradictory. So when it says, lo kasha, that's not a problem. Kan, and we turn to Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, when you're talking about the Reisha, where we said that you're allowed to go and help them learn how to blow the shofar, that's Bekotun Shigil Chinuch. That's a child that's reached the age of Chinuch. What is the actual age of Chinuch? It depends on each child. This would be the child that understands the mitzvah of blowing shofar. So let's say it's a 7-year-old kid, a 6-year-old kid, depends on the age of the child, depends on the abilities of the child. Some children at 10 might be still not higia lechinuch. Other children at 5 are higia lechinuch. So b'katan shigia lechinuch, that's when you're allowed to go and help him to learn how to blow shofar. But kan, in the seifa, it's talking about a baby. It's talking about a child that hasn't reached the age of chinuch yet. So you're not allowed to go and help him with the shofar. But if the kid is going and playing with the shofar, so you're not mechuyav to stop the child from playing with the shofar. That's what the Brayis is talking about. Two different scenarios. The reisha, where you're allowed to go and help him, is called shigil chinuch, and the safer where you're not allowed to help him, but you're not mechuyav to stop him, is when the child does not reach the age of chinuch. Then the Mishnah said, "Bamisasek lo yotza." If one is, let's say, blowing on the shofar to clean off the dust of the shofar, and he ends up making a good kosher sound, you can't be yotza with that sound, not the person who was blowing it, and not the person who was listening. So the implication is, the Gemara says, Hotokei Lashir, if you are blowing, not for the mitzvah of blowing shofar, but because you want to hear the beautiful sounds, you like the sounds of a tekiah, so then you would be yotze if in fact you made a good sound. So the Gemara says, Lema, let us say that this ruling is Messiah Leil Rava, is in accord with what Rava said. What did Rava say? The Amar Rava, Hotokei Lashir Yotza. Oh, exactly what the implication of our Mishnah is. Only a misasik is not yotze, but somebody who's blowing not for the purposes of shofar blowing, but he's blowing for the purposes of making a nice sound, so you could in fact be yotze with that sound. So Gemara says, no, maybe not. Dilma tokei aloshir is called nami misasik korile. Who says he's only blowing dust off the shofar, blowing to clean off the shofar, blowing for whatever other reason? That's called misasik, but blowing lashir is not called misasik. No, maybe you could argue, when the Mishnah says ha misasik, that includes even somebody blowing just lashir. Tokei aloshir is also called a misasik, and therefore you can't bring me a riot to what Rava says. Then finally, the Mishnah said, "Vashomeya min amisasik lo yotza." If somebody listens to somebody who was blowing on the shofar, let's say to dust it off, or according to the possibility that tokei lashir is also called misasik in that situation, so the one who listens and he heard a valid tekiah, so he can't be yotze. So Gemara says, implication is, avol hashomea min hamashmia liatzmo. But somebody who was blowing shofar and intending to be yotze himself, but wasn't intending to be yotze other people. So he makes a real valid tekiah for himself. The person listening, even though he didn't have him in mind, could be yotze. Because our Mishnah says only the misasik is blowing, you can't be yotze. Implication being that if somebody wasn't the misasik, they were blowing it l'shem mitzvah shofar, even though they weren't blowing it for you, they were only blowing it for themselves, you would be able to be yotze. So this is not in accord with what Rabbi Zeira said. What did Rabbi Zeira say? We had earlier, the Rabbi Zeira said to his shamis, Ikaven utkali, go and blow shofar for me, and have in mind to be motzi me. In other words, if you don't have in mind to be motzi me, I wouldn't be yotze. But the way we just had the implication of the Mishnah, if you're shomer from misasik and not yotze, implication being, if you're shomer from somebody who intended to be motzi himself, you would be able to be yotze. So why did Rabbi Zeira have to tell his shamis, be mechavin to be yotze me, ichavin uteka li? Where it says, maybe dilmor aidi the tana reisha misasek tana seifa nami misasek. Maybe in fact the din would be, even if the person was not misasek, you wouldn't be able to be yotze. In fact, maybe if the person was blowing only for themselves, they were mashmiya liatzmo, you couldn't be yotze with them. And that, therefore, is why Rav Zeira said to Ishamish, Ichavin uskali. Why did it say in the Sefer, Hashomea min ha-mis min ha-mis-asik? It should have said, Hashomea min ha-mashmiya liatzmo. No, that's a parallelism. Since the Reisha was talking about misasik, so the Sefer is also talking about misasik, but you can't learn an implication that it would imply that mashmiya liatzmo would be good. No, even mashmiya liatzmo would be no good. According to Rabbi Zeira, it's only if the person who's blowing shofar is mechavin to be motzi me that I can be yotze. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah begins to tell us the actual blast that we're going to be making. And it tells us, Seder Tekios, the way you blow the shofar, again, by Malchios, by Zichronos, and by Shofros, is you need to have all three shalosh for these three sets of tefilos, shel shalosh shalosh. Each one gets a tekiah, a teruah, and a tekiah. So you're going to blow a tekiah, teruah, and a tekiah by Malchios. You're going to blow a tekiah, teruah, and a tekiah by Zichronos, and a tekiah, teruah, and a tekiah by Shofros. That is the minimal amount that you yotze min haTorah. Now, as we all know, we're going to have a machlokis as to what is the definition of a teruah. And as we'll see later on, not in today's year, but in one of the two upcoming shears, we're almost done with this masechta, this beautiful masechta, and we're going to have a machlokis as to what is a teruah. Either a teruah is what it sounds like, a teruah, or a teruah is also known as a shvarim, or we're not sure. maybe a trua is a shvarim trua. So three possibilities, and therefore we blow many more blasts to fulfill, to make sure that we're yotzei all the different opinions. And then we have an additional customs based upon the 101 sobs that Ein Sisra, that the mother of Sisra had when her son Sisra didn't come up in the battle, when Yael killed him. So we blast 100 blasts keneged Ein Sisra, which we'll discuss about again in tomorrow's shiur. In any event, our Mishnah tells us right now that the minimal amount to be yotzei daraisa is blowing a tekiah, trua, and a tekiah by each of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Now, how long do each of these sounds have to be? So the Mishnah tells us, shir tekiah, the length of the tekiah has to be as long as kishalosh truas, as three blasts known as trua. And how much is that? Shir trua, and the shir of a trua is kishalosh yevavos, is each trua is the length of three sighs. Yevavos are like sighs. So a tekiah has to be three truos, and a trua is the length of time that it has to blow three yevavos. So therefore, tekiah is going to be nine of these blasts. We'll discuss this more in the Gemara. The Mishnah continues and says, Toka b'rishona u'moshach b'shnia. As we just said, you have these blasts over here that are tekiah, trua, and tekiah. And then you go to the next round, which is tekiah, trua, and tekiah. So when you're blowing, and you're at the end of the first round, let's say, which is a tekiah, and that the second round would be a tekiah. So the person who's blowing says, listen, I got to blow a tekiah, and then I got to blow another tekiah. Instead of making a, let's say, 4-second tekiah, and then I'm going to make another 4-second tekiah, I'm just going to blow 1 8-second tekiah. We had this early in the Masechta. This mission was brought down multiple times early in the Masechta, and here's where we have it. So in the person's mind, he's saying, I'm blowing the length of 2 tekiahs, but I'm just not interrupting in between. Is that good or not? So the Mishnah tells us, Toka barishona u'moshach b'shniya kishtayim. The person blows an 8-second single tekiah. It's long enough as if it were 2 tekiahs. So is that good or not? So the Mishnah tells us it's perfectly good, but only for 1 tekiah. Ein biyado el achas. So you blew an 8-second tekiah. There usually is no maximum length that a tekiah could be. Sometimes when the Baal Tokeya blows a tekiah gedola, he blows a 12-15-second tekiah gedola. It's actually sometimes problematic if it doesn't have a nice smooth sound the whole way. It's a problem whether you're yotzei or not, actually. So yotzo scharm that say them. They want to show that they can blow a beautiful tekiah gedola, but sometimes it actually can ruin it. In any event, the person is allowed to blow an 8-second tekiah. That's not a problem. And therefore, if he blows a very long tekiah, it can't count as 2, but it does count as 1 as long as it's a kosher sound. So ein biyado ela achas. Mishnah continues and says, Misha Beirach, the Achakach Nisman Elo Shofar. Let's say they davened. Here it means Misha Beirach means that they davened. They didn't have a shofar. So, no, they davened Musaf. And then they get a shofar afterwards. So now they can fulfill the mitzvah shofar, albeit they won't do it in the middle of the davening. So, what should they do? Yes, blow shofar. Tokeya, Omeria, Vetokeya. Blow a tekiah, a trua, and a tekiah. Again, whatever the trua is. Shalosh Pavim, do that 3 times, and you fulfill the minimal amount that you have to do, Midaraisa, which is the 9 blasts, Tekia, Trua, Tekia, 3 times. Finally, Mishnah concludes and says, Kishem Shesholiat Tzibur Chayav, Kach Ko Yochid V'Yochid Chayav, that the Tanakami here holds, that just like the Shliach Tzibur is obligated to daven, so too, everybody is obligated to daven. What does this mean? So it means that if you know how to daven, you shouldn't rely upon the Shliach Tzibur to be motzi you. If you don't know how to daven, so that's why the Chazaras HaShas was set up, to be motzi those that don't know how to daven. And especially in those days when they didn't have machzorim, a lot of people did not know how to daven. Who knows the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening by heart? So if you didn't have a machzor in front of you, so they would often be yotzi with the Shliach Tzibur, who did know it by heart or had it written out, a handwritten machzor. So in that situation, you're allowed to be yotzi. But if you know how to daven, then Kol Yochid Yochid is chayav to daven for himself and not to be yotzei with the Shliach Tzibur. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rabbi Gamliel disagrees. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, no. Shliach Tzibur motzei es harabim yidei chavosan. The Shliach Tzibur is allowed to be motzei the rabim, even if they know how to daven on their own. And they can just listen to the Chazaras HaShatz and be yotzei. Now the Gemara starts and says, Tanya, we learned in a braisa, shir tekiah kisrua, that our Mishnah said that the shir of a tekiah is like 3 truos, and the Braisa tells us that the shir of a tekiah is like 1 trua. So it seems to be a machlokas between the Mishnah and this Braisa. So Rabbi lo kasha. Rabbi says it's not a kasha. Tano di don, the Tano of our Mishnah, who said, kochoshiv tekiah dikulhu bave, utruos de kulu bavi. When the Tana of our Mishnah said that the tekiah is like three truos, he was talking about all the tekiahs. A little bit of a funny lashon, but he was saying that all of the tekiahs are the length of the three truos. In other words, the first tekiah is as long as the first trua. The second tekiah is as long as the second trua. The third tekiah is as long as the third tekiah. In other words, each tekiah is the same length as a trua, which is exactly what the Brisa said. And Tana Bara, Kachashi, Chad Bava, Vasulav. And the Tana of the Brisa, which said over here, Shir Tekiah, Kitrua, was saying it in a more straightforward way. What we all probably would have said on the road was like the Brisa and not like the Mishnah, but the Tana of the Mishnah was saying no different than the Tana of the Brisa. And therefore, Abai says there's no Kasha over here. They're both saying the same thing. The length of a Tekiah has to be as long as the Trua. And this is Halacha L'Maisa. When you're blowing a Shvarim Trua, the Tekiah has to be longer. So let's say you're blowing a tekiah for a trua, a plain trua, what we call a trua, so then the tekiah is going to be shorter. When you're blowing the tekiah for a shvarim trua, the tekiah has to be twice as long. It has to be the length of the shvarim and the trua, and that is the halacha l'maisa. So that's why you'll see that the Baal Tokeya blows a longer tekiah at times than he does at other times, and that's because it all dependent on the length of the trua, quote, trua, which could be a shvarim trua, or it could be a shvarim, or it could be a trua l'maisa. Then the Mishnah says, Shir Trua Kishalo Shivavos. The Mishnah then said that how long is the Trua? It's the length of Shalosh Yivavos. Three sighs. Someone says, but we have a Bryce that says otherwise, Vatanya, Shir Trua Kishlosha Shivarim. It says that the Shir of a Trua is like three Shvarim. Shvarim are like broken blasts. From the Lashon of Shever, broken. Shivrei Kalim, broken Kalim. Rashi points out that yavavos are kolos kolshu, very small sounds, and a shvarim sound is aruchim mi yavavos. It's a longer sound than yavavos. So here, clearly, you have a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa. The Mishnah says it's the equivalent of three shorter sounds, and the Brisa says it's the equivalent of three longer sounds. So Rabbi, b'ho avad pligi, here there's no way to reconcile it. Rabbi was the one that reconciled the first contradiction that we seemingly had. But here he says there's no way to rectify it. They're arguing with each other. They're siv. And he says the Pasuk tells us, Yom Trua Yelochem. The Pasuk says it should be a day of Trua for you. And how does Targum Unkelus translate that? Matagaminon, in Unkelus it calls that Yom Yevava Yehe Lechon. He calls a Trua, Targum Unkelus says a Trua is a Yevava. Uksiv bi'imei de Sisra, and it says by the mother of Sisra, when she was waiting for her son, Sisra, to come back, and she was telling herself, oh, he must be having plundering and all sorts of wonderful, horrible things that he must be doing. She was very proud of her son, and she was waiting for him to come back, but he wasn't coming back, wasn't coming back, wasn't coming back. She was getting nervous. It says by the mother of Sisra, Barach Alon Nishkifa. She was standing by the window looking out, and she was beginning to be very concerned that her son wasn't coming home from battle. But Tiyabev Aim Sisra, and she started to cry. She did Yevavos. And this type of crying called Batiyabev Aim Sisra is the source of the machlokes between our Mishnah and the Brisa. They're two different opinions. What does the crying of Aim Sisra mean? Mar Savar Ganuche Gonach. The opinion of the Brisa, the time of the Brisa, who says the Shior Teruah Kishlosha Shvarim, it was the type of longer size. She was crying in that fashion. Whereas the time of Amishnah, Mar Savar, that it was the shorter Yevava type of blast, that's Yalule Yalil, which more sounds like the Trua that we have today, and the first opinion more sounds like the Shvarim that we have today, and that is the source of these two customs as to what is the Trua. Either it's more like a Shvarim, or it's more like a what we call a Trua, Yalula Yalala. Tosus brings down that in order to get around this entire machlokis as to which one it is, our custom is that we blow all of them. We blow a tekiah, trua, tekiah, and we take all three possible types of terua. So according to the opinion that says it's a shvarim, we blow that. According to the opinion that says it's a what we call a trua, yalala, so we blow that. And then maybe it's really both of them, so then we blow a shvarim terua as well. And that's where we get the custom that we blow a minimum blast of the 30 blast, which is to do a tekiah, Shvarim Tekiah, that's three. A Tekiah Trua Tekiah, that's another three. And a Tekiah Shvarim Trua Tekiah, that's another four. So it's three, three, and four, that's 10. And we do that for Malchios, we do that for Zichronos, and we do that for Shofros, and that leads to the total of 30. Again, we then add on to that because of the Aim Sisra, the 101 cries that she made. So we only do 100, And that's how we get the minhag to do 100 kolos. But again, for a person who's listening after the davening, so we only have to blow 30 kolos. There's nothing wrong if you blow more, but the minimum amount that we've accepted upon ourselves to be yotzei midirabbanan, even more than the deraisa, is when you're not blowing in the davening, is to blow only 30 kolos. The obvious question is, why is the mother of Sisra, Aim Sisra, the reason that we blow 100 kolos? So many reasons are given. Not really the purpose or the subject of our shiur today, but I'll just give one, and that is that even the mother of Sisra's cries are heard in Shemayim. Even though her son was a Rasha, even though she certainly wasn't deserving of a lot of pity and mercy on our part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tears of everyone, especially a mother crying for her child. And we are supposed to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are his lost children, and therefore we're calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in pain and suffering, even though we may not deserve to be saved, but we're still calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and please answer our tefillos. Mark continues and says, Tanu Rabbanon, we learn the following braisa, Minayin should be shofar. How do we know that the blast that we blow on Rosh Hashanah had to be from a shofar? Because the pasuk says, Talmud Lomar. Now this says in regards to Yovel, Vavarta shofar trua. It says by the Yovel that you have to blow a shofar. And therefore, Enli Elbe Yovel. That pasuk would teach me by the Yovel. But we don't have a pasuk by Rosh Hashanah. How do I know at Rosh Hashanah you also have to use a shofar? But Rosh Hashanah Minayin. So it says Talmud Lomar, because right after the Yovel it says Bachodesh Hashvi. The pasuk tells us, "Vavarta shofar trua b'chodesh hashvi b'sral chodesh." Now we already knew it wasn't the chodesh hashvi. The previous pasukim had said that Yom Kippur falls out in the chodesh hashvi. Shein tam lo mechodesh hashvi. It didn't have to tell us again b'chodesh hashvi. Therefore, umatam lo mechodesh hashvi. Why did the pasuk seemingly unnecessarily repeat b'chodesh hashvi? Shiyu kol trua shel chodesh hashvi ze kozeh, to teach us a commonality that any blowing of shofar in the seventh month has to be like the blowing of the shofar on Yovel, on Yom Kippur, and therefore the blowing on Rosh Hashanah also has to be with a shofar. More continues the Bryce and says, Minayin she pshuta lefaneha, and as well we'll have pshuta achareha. So the first part of the Bryce says, Minayin she pshuta lefaneha. How do you know before you have the trua? It says, Vabarta shofar trua. Before the trua, you have to have a tekiah beforehand. So Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk says by Yovel, Vabarta shofar trua. Before you have the trua, you have to have vahavarita, which implies a tekiah. So that's how you know the tekiah beforehand. No, I mean, I ain't shepshuta lachra. How do you know you have to have the tekiah afterwards? Because again, it says after the trua, Talmud Lomar, it says taviru shofar. You have to have another taviru, which is another tekiah. So therefore, you have the trua in the middle, sandwiched in by a tekiah beforehand and a tekiah afterwards. And again, family Elab Yovel. This pasuk is by the Yovel. So how do we know by Rosh Hashanah Minayin? How do we know that the same thing applies in Rosh Hashanah? So the same reason that we just said before, Talmud Lomar Bechodesh Hashvi. You have the extra words Bechodesh Hashvi. And again, we turn to Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, where it repeats the same drasha. Shein Talmud Lomar Bechodesh Hashvi. Didn't have to tell us Bechodesh Hashvi because we already knew we were in the Chodesh Hashvi. So Ma Talmud Lomar Bechodesh Hashvi. She would call Trua Hachodesh Hashvi Zekzeh, to teach us this commonality that any shofar blast that you blow in the month of Tishrei have to be like the blast that you blow on Yom Kippur in the Yovel year. The Brisa continues and says, "Uminayin l'shalosh shalosh shalosh." And how do we know they have to blow three sets? The tekiah, trua, and tekiah, whatever the trua is, but midaraisa, that's one trua, and you have to blow that for malchios, zichronos, and shofros. How do we know that? Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk tells us vavar to shofar trua. That's one. Then it says shabboson zichron trua. That's two. And then it says yom trua yelachem. That's three. So you have to blow three truas. Each one has to have a pshuta before and a pshuta afterwards. That's the total of the nine kolos. The Brisa continues and says, all of these psukim aren't said all on the Yovel or all on Rosh Hashanah. It's a combination of these psukim, some are by Rosh Hashanah, some are by Yovel. They're not all by Rosh Hashanah or by Yovel. How do we know, therefore, that it applies to all of them in totality? So Talmud Lomar, Shvi, Shvi, L'Gzeri Shavah. The way we have L'Gzeri Shavah over here, it says Shvi in regards to Rosh Hashanah, and it says Shvi in regards to the Yovel Yom Kippur, and therefore, that teaches us that you have a Gzeri Shava. Okay, Tzad, what is the Gzeri Shava teaching us? Shalosh Ein Teisha, Shir Tekiah Kitrua, Shir Trua Kishlosha Shivarim. That teaches us this din, that you have to blow by both of them, the Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah, three times, and in addition, it teaches us the length of them, that it has to be Shalosh Ein Teisha, the three have to be Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah, three times, that a total of nine, and shir tekiah to trua, and that the shir of the tekiah is the length of the trua, and the shir of the trua is kishlosha shvarim. It teaches us that din as well, which we dashed earlier in the shir. One last question, though. You started off telling me that it's a hekesh. Haytana meikor ma'isel obehekesha. He said that there's a hekesh over here, the juxtaposition of Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, b'chodesh Hashvi. So therefore, that's how we compare them. And then you end up using gzeir shavah. Ask the ma'isel leib gzeir shavah. So what do you need the hekesh for? So when it says hachi kamar, this is what the Tana is saying. Ilav gzeir shavah have a ma'isel lo behekesha. Even without the gzeir shavah, I do have some of the din that could be learned after a hekesh. However, hashrut ha'isel gzeir shavah. But since we do have gzeir shavah, which is a Kabbalah halacha Moshe Sinai, what the gzeir shavahs are. So therefore, hekesha lo tzarach. We technically don't need the hekesha, but the hekesha would have worked for certain things on its own. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude this year. Mitzvah Hashem, we're getting very close to the end of the Masechta.